Welcome to the Divine Office Podcast. Dear Lord, please revive my drooping spirit as we get on toward 5 o'clock. Lord, come to our assistance. God, come to our assistance. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. And actually, there should be a special antiphon for this. Alright, we shall just go with the antiphon for the day, since there's no special antiphon for the dedication of the basilicas of St. Peter and Paul, an optional memorial today. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. The Lord is God. The mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Come then, let us bow down and worship him, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Menizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us approach the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. This beautiful evening, we're going to continue to celebrate the office. We'll choose the office of readings today, just because we may not want to have all the time and everything of evening prayer, even though it is evening now. The office of readings, like I said, is one of those floating offices. It's the only floating office that doesn't have an assigned time throughout the day in the liturgy of the hours of the day. So it's the liturgy of the hours. The hours is in reference to the hours of the day. Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe. Psalm 6. Lord, do not reprove me in your anger. Punish me not in your rage. Have mercy on me, Lord. I have no strength. Lord, heal me. My body is racked. My soul is racked with pain. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, Lord, rescue my soul. Save me in your merciful love, for in death no one remembers you. From the grave, who can give you praise? I am exhausted with my groaning. Every night I drench my pillow with tears. I bedew my bed with weeping. My eye wastes away with grief. I have grown old, surrounded by my foes. Leave me, all you who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord will accept my prayer. All my foes will retire in confusion, foiled and suddenly confounded. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And the psalm prayer, which is always optional, gives us an idea of how to pray that, because if we haven't been weeping all night and we're not filled with those sentiments, we're not going to be able to pray so much on our behalf of ourselves, so we might think of times when we've been like that. But here's the optional psalm prayer. Lord God, you love mercy and tenderness. You give life and overcome death. Look upon the many wounds of your church. Restore it to health by your risen Son, so that it may sing a new song in your praise. And you know, I even recommend, maybe there's someone, as you were saying that, you're thinking of someone, perhaps, as you're saying that, who really does have that sentiment, who really does feel that God is reproving them, punishing them in their anger, in his anger at them. So that's a good time also for you to just make a short prayer after the psalm, or even it's a prayer when you remember them. Glory to the Show me your mercy, Lord, and keep me safe. The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them. Psalm 9a, part A of Psalm 9. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will recount all your wonders. I will rejoice in you and be glad, and sing psalms to your name, O Most High. See how my enemies turn back, how they stumble and perish before you. You upheld the justice of my cause. You sat enthroned, judging with justice. You have checked the nations, destroyed the wicked. You have wiped out their name forever and ever. The foe is destroyed, eternally ruined. You uprooted their cities, their memory has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has set up his throne for judgment. He will judge the world with justice. He will judge the peoples with his truth. For the oppressed, let the Lord be a stronghold in times of distress. Those who know your name will trust you. You will never forsake those who seek you. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The poor are not alone in their distress. God is here to help them. Antiphon 3. I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather. And we still continue praying that one psalm, Psalm 9, Part A. Sing psalms to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Proclaim his mighty works among the peoples, for the avenger of blood has remembered them, has not forgotten the cry of the poor. Have pity on me, Lord, see my sufferings, you who saved me from the gates of death, and that I may recount all your praise at the gates of the city of Zion, and rejoice in your saving help. The nations have fallen in the pit which they made, their feet caught in the snare they laid. The Lord has revealed himself and given judgment. The wicked are ensnared in the work of their own hands. Let the wicked go down among the dead, all the nations forgetful of God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the hopes of the poor be in vain. Arise, Lord, let men not prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Lord, strike them with terror. Let the nations know they are but men. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord God, when you judge, do not be deaf to the shouts of the poor, but bring havoc to the madness of oppressors. Look at our wounds and save us from the gates of death, so that we may always rejoice in your help and speak your praise in the gates of Zion. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will be the herald of your praises, Lord, where the people of Zion gather. So again, we have the opportunity to pray that on behalf of others if we're not experiencing those things, but we'll see something in the readings, perhaps. The readings are also about that judgment, God coming in judgment. So let's speak briefly to introduce the readings. But the verse introducing the readings is, Give me insight, Lord, to know your will, then I will cherish it with all my heart. So again, we've been reading about judgment, and this kind of takes us to a high point in the Divine Office liturgies that we've been celebrating over the last month. And if we were to compare our Divine Office that we've been saying each month to something like a musical symphony, this would be one of those really dramatic moments where people are singing and it's the high point of the opera with a beautiful but climactic moment. And this is a moment of high drama because the liturgy is inviting us to choose to follow Christ or not, and to really bring into our mind and heart the final judgment. So I've always found this valley that they're talking about interesting, the meaning of the valley. It's related to the Hebrew word for judgment, to judge. And it has to do with, you know, what judging means in Greek and Hebrew. It means deciding something, and we still have that meaning in English. The judge is the one who has the power and authority to decide whether you get fined or you go to jail. It also has a connotation of discernment, connotation of wisdom. So the prophets were able to offer judgment on certain people or situations, especially situations, they offered judgment on situations. But millions upon millions of people today are in this valley of decision. They're in this valley of judgment spiritually, not knowing if they will choose God. They may think that God is good, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to choose God over themselves. Are you going to choose God even if it means changing your views on social or political issues or personal issues? Otherwise, there could be other ways of taking up a cross, but there's always a resurrection because we choose to live these lives and we know that we receive and share in Christ's victory. So we also have this preacher, Fulgentius of Rupspi. He's not a saint. You don't have to be a saint to have your office, to be in the office of readings. And he is going to push us to consider that cross-shaped pattern to our lives and how God is going to judge us on our decisions in that regard when we choose to pattern our lives on Christ's Paschal mystery. So it's all building toward that moment of high drama again, with Christ the King coming up this weekend to consider how we ought to feel about Jesus Christ and how we are in our innermost being, even beyond feelings, to think about his coming, to experience his judgment, because he is Lord of everything in addition to being Savior. So the first reading is from the book of the prophet Joel, the last judgment, thereafter eternal happiness. Thus says the Lord, yes, in those days, and at that time, when I would restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will assemble all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and divided my land. Over my people they have cast lots. They gave a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for the wine they drank. Declare this among the nations, proclaim a war. Rouse the warriors to arms. Let all the soldiers report and march. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak man say, I am a warrior. Hasten and come, all you neighboring peoples. Assemble here, assemble there. Bring down, O Lord, your warriors is a bracketed statement. Unbracket. Let the nations bestir themselves and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit in judgment upon all the neighboring nations. Apply the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come and tread, for the winepress is full, the vats overflowing, for great is their malice. Crowd upon crowd in the valley of decision. For near is the day of the Lord in the valley of decision. Sun and moon are darkened, and the stars withhold their brightness. The Lord roars from Zion, and from Jerusalem raises his voice. The heavens and the earth quake, but the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the men of Israel. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, am your God, dwelling on Mount Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem shall be holy, and strangers shall pass through her no more. And then on that day the mountains shall drip new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and the channels of Judah shall flow with water. A fountain shall issue from the house of the Lord to water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a waste, and Edom a desert waste, because of violence done to the people of Judah, because they shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem for all generations. I will avenge their blood and not leave it unpunished. The Lord dwells in Zion. Responsory prayer. The mountains shall run with sweet wine, and all the riverbeds of Judah shall flow with water. A fountain shall spring from the house of the Lord. If anyone is thirsty, come forward, and receive the water of life freely given to all who desire it. The angel showed me the river and the water of life, bright as crystal, which flowed from the throne of God and of the Lamb. If anyone is thirsty, come forward and receive the water of life, freely given to all who desire it. Second reading from the tradition of the Church is drawn from this treatise on forgiveness by St. Fulgentius of Rupespi, a bishop during the Middle Ages. He who overcomes shall not be harmed by the second death, is the caption. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as the final trumpet sounds, for the trumpet shall indeed sound, the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In saying we, Paul is indicating that the gift of that future change will also be given to those who during their time on earth are united to him and his companions by upright lives within the communion of the Church. He hints at the nature of the change when he says, "This corruptible body must put on incorruptibility, this mortal body immortality, in order then that men may obtain the transformation which is the reward of the just. They must first undergo, here on earth, a change which is God's free gift. Those who in this life have been changed from evil to good are promised that future change as a reward. Through justification and spiritual resurrection, grace now effects in them an initial change that is God's great gift. Later on, through the bodily resurrection, the transformation of the just will be brought to completion, and they will experience a perfect, abiding, unchangeable glorification. The purpose of this change, wrought in them by the gifts of both justification and glorification, is that they may abide in an eternal, changeless state of joy. Here on earth, they are changed by the first resurrection, in which they are enlightened and converted. And thus, passing from death to life, sinfulness to holiness, unbelief to faith, and evil actions to holy life. For this reason, the second death has no power over them. It is of such men that the book of Revelation says, 'Happy the man who shares in the first resurrection.' Over such as he, the second death has no power. Elsewhere, the same book says, 'He who overcomes shall not be harmed by the second death.' As the first resurrection consists of the conversion of the heart, the second death consists of unending torment. Let everyone, therefore, who does not wish to be condemned to the endless punishment of the second death, now hasten to share in the first resurrection. For if any during this life are changed out of fear of God and pass from an evil life to a good one, they pass from death to life, and later they shall be transformed from a shameful state to a glorious one." Responsory prayer. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. You must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. And we're going to take the special prayer. All that stuff is proper to the day that we're on in the last week of Ordinary Time, or the second last week. But let's take the final prayer from this beautiful apostolic feast of the dedication of the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul. Defend your Church, O Lord, by the protection of the holy apostles, that as she received from them the beginnings of her knowledge of things divine, so through them she may receive, even to the end of the world, an increase in heavenly grace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks. There's some really cool websites that I found you can visit and have a virtual tour of St. Peter's Basilica online. It's really good. It's actually really, really kind of cool. That's going to be on the Vatican's website, /various/basilica. You know, that's too complicated, but if you search by the Basilica of St. Peter and Paul and tour, you might find it. I hope that you have a beautiful rest of your night and that you're blessed in this final climactic moment of our liturgical year. We'll talk about next year's office when it comes, on the first day of next year. It's great to have you here. Please continue to pray for us and for our ministries here at Faith, Hope, Love Ministry. We have many of us have different apostolates, and we're called to different things.